Again, to make you feel at home, we are just wanting to say that we're happy that you are here. I suppose that this is one of the best congregations in all the world. And I mean that in more than one way. I don't know of a better group of people anywhere. Nor do I know of a church anywhere that brings back as many per capita of the Sunday morning congregation on Sunday night as Worth Baptist Church. And I praise the Lord for that. And we're looking forward in the days ahead to many wonderful things. So if you're to visit tonight with us, we want you to feel at home. We believe the day of feeling starched and stiff and to the point of almost being uncomfortable in worship, those days have passed. We believe that we should worship the Lord in a relaxed atmosphere. God is speaking to us. Let us listen to what he has to say. It is an awesome and a grave responsibility for the pastor, because I recognize that the souls of men, humanly speaking, are in my hands. And I want you to pray that God will enable me to deliver the message that he's laid on my heart tonight and use it to the furtherance of the cause of Christ and the salvation of those who are lost. I want you to turn tonight to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. I shall begin reading at the 10th verse of chapter 5 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful congregation. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the faithfulness of Thy people. And we thank Thee for Thine own faithfulness. For great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. It is not within our power nor within our vocabulary to praise thee tonight. For thou art a God of love and mercy. Thou knowest our hearts and our needs. And we humbly pray that thou wouldst use the message tonight to bring salvation to the lost. For those who need to dedicate their lives and surrender and abandon everything to Christ, may they come tonight and do just that. For those who are seeking a church home, a place to worship, a place to serve, may they make that decision tonight. For those, Heavenly Father, who need to become enlisted and involved in the ministry of the church, serving Christ, may they find it in their hearts to so do, as we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now Daniel chapter 5, I begin reading at verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit, and knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jury? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from the kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. In our preaching through the book of Daniel, we have come now to the closing scene of chapter 5. In the early verses of the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and co-regent with his father Nabonidus, had staged a tremendous banquet at which he invited his lords and their wives and their concubines. And they had an orgy like unto which there perhaps had never been before. The people of the East were known for their banquets, for their reveling, for their feasting. And Belshazzar would not be outdone. So in the midst of the banquet of death, they brought the golden and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, 70 years before, had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. And now they drank wine from those holy vessels, those sacred vessels, desecrating them and defying the name of God, for they engaged in their heathen pagan worship as they gave praise to and honored the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and stone and wood. And the Bible tells us, and how sublimely the word of God is constructed, how forthrightly God speaks, how accurately and how wonderfully the word of the living God is recorded. In the same hour, there appeared over against the wall a portion of a man's hand, and there was writing incised or engraved in that wall that frightened the king of Babylon. Strangely enough, he seemed not to be too frightened by the armies of the Medes and Persians who were encamped outside the walls of his city. The walls protected him from the invasion of the army, at least for a while. His sword protected him from any usurper within his kingdom who might decide that he wanted to take the power from Belshazzar. But who could protect him from the Almighty? Who could protect his conscience from being smitten by the hand of God in a message that was written upon the wall? As his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had done before him, he called in the wise men, the astrologers, the soothsayers, the Chaldeans, men of outstanding wisdom. And he asked them to interpret the handwriting on the wall, which of course they could not do. They were two-time losers. They could not interpret the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream in chapter 2. Nor could they interpret the tree vision of chapter 4. They are speechless. They are astonished. They are amazed. The queen enters the banquet chamber. She gives a word of encouragement to this conscience-smitten king Belshazzar. And she says to him in so many words, "Be not afraid. There is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods dwells." Well, what about Daniel all of this time? Nebuchadnezzar has been dead since 562 BC, and it is now 536. For these almost 30 years, Daniel has been in retirement from public office and from public life. Remember, he was the prime minister for 40 years under Nebuchadnezzar. Now, for these last about 30 years, he's in retirement. But he, the man of God, is called out of retirement and brought before Belshazzar. And Belshazzar says to him, I have heard of you. I know what happened back in the days prior to my own kingship. Now, if thou canst interpret this writing, there will be a chain of gold about your neck, and you will be made the third ruler of this kingdom. And Daniel answered in verse 17 and said, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another, yet I will tell thee the interpretation and make known to thee the writing. And then Daniel, by now 90 years old, standing gracefully, boldly before the king, recognizing that his life is in the hands of Belshazzar, but fully aware of the fact that beyond that, there is a God in heaven. Daniel stood with holy boldness, and he reviewed the history of the Babylonian Empire. And he reviewed the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of kings in Babylon. And he reminded Belshazzar how that God had elevated Nebuchadnezzar to make him the great king and give him the subjection of all the peoples of the earth, all the languages and all the tongues and all the nations were in subjection to Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him his honor and his might and his power and his kingdom, but he failed, as many are doing today, he failed to acknowledge God. May I say to you tonight, that everything that you have comes from God. If you have rank and station in life, it is from God. If you have money and wealth, it is from God. If you have prizes and rewards, if you have stocks and bonds, if you have land, if you have holdings, if you have life, it is from God. You and I must acknowledge that every good and every perfect gift cometh from him. Nebuchadnezzar failed to acknowledge this. And because he failed to give God the glory, God put within his heart the heart of a beast. And he became smitten with that illness known as lycanthropy, believing himself to be a wild beast. And for 7 long years, he ate grass like an ox. His fingernails and toenails grew out like eagle's claws, and his hair became as feathers. And he lived in that existence for 7 long years until he recognized the God of heaven. And then he was restored. Now Daniel says to Belshazzar, you knew all of this. This is in the record and in the archives of Babylon. This is no mystery. This is no secret to you. You know all of these things, and yet you fail to give God the glory in your own life. You have desecrated the holy vessels of God. And God has intervened. And God has written your doom upon the wall of your great palace where you enjoy your drunken feast. God smote him in his conscience. The writing upon the wall and the form of a man's hand disturbed him beyond description. Daniel said, I don't want your rewards. I don't want your promotions. I don't want your gold and I don't want your silver. But I will tell you the writing and the interpretation thereof. Daniel could have done, as many people, many preachers do it, are doing today. Daniel could have softened the blow. Daniel could have compromised the message of God. But he didn't do it. These 70 years, he has been a stalwart of the faith. These 70 years, he has refused to compromise the truth of the message of God. You know, I think there's something sweet. I think there's something adorable. I think there is something admirable about an old preacher who maintains his same philosophy of life and preaches uncompromisingly all the days of his life the truth of God's word. Daniel refused to compromise. This is the writing, and he interprets the words that are written on the wall. And three words come from that mysterious writing. First, the word number. Thy days are numbered. Secondly, the word wait. Now, maybe some of you adults will have, this child's mother is not in our service. Maybe some of you adults will have to take her to the nursery and keep her there, please. The first word is number. The second word is wait. And the third word is divide. I shall speak of those very briefly. First, the word number. Did you recognize tonight that everything in this material universe can be reduced to numbers? Music and sound are numbers. The number of vibrations in a wavelength determines the pitch or the sound. Color can be reduced to numbers, depending again upon the wavelength of the color or the image. When it gets so high, it becomes infrared and we can't see it. Color can be reduced to numbers. This material out of which this pulpit desk is made can be reduced to numbers. For God has brought together a certain number of molecules of this type and a certain number of molecules of another type, and together they form this material substance. The whole universe can be reduced to numbers. Daniel said to Belshazzar, "Thy days are numbered." Now I believe the days of every man's life is numbered. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. Death does not come by an accident. Death does not come coincidentally. Death comes by appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. No wonder in the 90th Psalm, the prayer of Moses, we have these words. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our days are numbered. And beloved, when your number comes up, there's nothing but nothing that can hold or withstay the hand of death. Money, medicine, might, power, anything that you can name, when your number comes up, it's over. Oh, but somebody says, "Preacher, you don't understand. My mother will be standing by to pray for me." That's good. "My pastor will be standing by to pray for me." That's good. "My friends, my fellow Christians will be standing by to pray for me in that hour." That's good. But if your number has registered on the register of the Almighty, nothing can withstay your life. The hand of death will claim you, and all your family can do is stand and watch you die and then take you out and bury you in a Christian burial out of their sight. Every individual has a number. Belshazzar did. You do. And I do. Therefore, it is of utmost importance that we live out the days of our lives as though every day might be the last, because it might be. As someone has said, this is the first day of the rest of your life. It might be the last day of the rest of your life. For the Bible plainly, emphatically, clearly declares, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Every nation has a number. The kingdom of Babylon had its number. I believe the United States of America has its number. And I'm more convinced tonight when I see the affairs of our state, our government, our nation, when I see the moral decadence, when I see the desecration of the holy day of God, when I see the apathy and the unconcern and the indifference on the part of people concerning the church and the gospel and the Bible and God and Christ and prayer, I believe our number is about to register in God's book. I know this isn't a popular message, the message of judgment. And I know that some of you will whisper in your heart, but we've never had it so good. Nor had Babylon, nor had Rome, nor had Greece, nor had Assyria, nor had Egypt, nor had Israel, nor had Judah. We have never had it so good. We have advanced in our country to postgraduate school in science, technology, and learning. But we're still in the toddler's department in spiritual things. There has never been a nation like ours so blessed of God. You can go up and down the streets of our community, knock on doors. Yes, I know about this church or that church. I've heard him on radio. I've seen him on television. I've read about him in the paper. I know about the Bible. I know about God. I know about Christ. There is no excuse for any man to go to hell as a citizen of the United States of America. Any radio, any television, any periodical, any street, any block, any city, a church, a preacher, Christian people, a Bible, a voice. And I believe with all of my heart tonight that unless America repents, unless America gets right with God, unless America comes back to the ancient path, unless America returns to the principles of the Bible, the Word of God, judgment is upon us. Judgment is upon us. Our nation, rich, educated, powerful, majestic, our nation has a number. And if I read the Word of God correctly, I believe that our number is just about to be called. The second word is divided. The second word is weighed. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. When we put man on God's scales, it's always unbalanced. It is in the nature of man to try within himself to be good, to be religious, And men choose one of several directions and paths for their life. Here's a man who wants to be a Christian, but he thinks that he can do it by his own works. And he is not willing to hear the word of God that says it's not by works, lest any man should boast. So he goes out to work his way to heaven. Here is a person who wants to be a Christian. So he goes to some church and he unites with that church. And he subscribes to the doctrines and teachings of that church. And he perhaps signs a card and makes a pledge that he will do this or that or the other. Not willing to listen to the words of Jesus who said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Belshazzar was put on the scales of God, and he did not weigh enough to balance those scales. He had been responsible for the desecration of the holy vessels of the temple of God. He did not weigh enough to register a balance, an equal weight on the scales of God. Let me ask you tonight, how much do you weigh on the scales of God? Now, if you are unsaved, you may have been baptized, you may have learned the catechisms, you may have joined the church, you may have memorized the scripture, you may have done all these things, but you don't weigh anything on the scale. If you are indeed a saved person, a Christian, if your light is not shining for Christ and your life is not counting for Him and your influence and your testimony, when you step up on the scales of God, you're going to come up short. For the unsaved man, there is but one way to tip the scales of God's eternal measurement, and that is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as one's own personal Savior. And when one is saved, the only way to keep that balance is to be a good soldier, to fight the fight of faith, to invest, to give oneself, to serve, to witness, to go, to sacrifice, to be what God wants you to be. Many people are not coming up to the proper weight spiritually because they've not eaten of the Word of God, because they have not been a witness for Christ, because they have not been honest and fair in their dealings with God. You see, if a man is honest with God, he'll be honest with his fellow men. How much do you weigh? Belshazzar was weighed on the scales of eternity, and he didn't weigh enough. What is your weight? Remember, God is keeping your weight and mine. And the third word is divided. Thy kingdom shall be divided among the Medes and Persians. The great Babylonian Empire had been climbing in its power, its influence over the world, since the year 606 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar became king. It is now 70 years later. It's 536 B.C. And Babylon has reached its zenith of power and is going downhill. I somehow am convinced tonight, in a parallel of this, that our nation has reached its zenith of power and wealth and influence, and we are going downhill. You don't have to listen to what's going on in the circles of politics and religion and education before you recognize that truth. Just read the papers, listen to the news. Divided, thy kingdom shall be taken from thee and be divided among the Medes and Persians. Babylon had walls that stood 350 feet high. Babylon's walls were 80 feet wide, and 6 chariots could ride abreast around the top. Herodias, an historian who visited just a few years after 536, writes in his Chronology of the History of Babylon that the Medes and Persians diverted the course of the Euphrates River and came under the walls and took the kingdom of Babylon. Now let me say to you tonight, however safe, however secure, that you might feel behind the walls of your good intentions, behind the walls of your resolutions, behind the walls of your self-righteousness, behind the walls of your veneer of salvation, behind the walls of your religion, God can penetrate whatever wall you've built of defense against Him. He can either come through it, or go under it, or come over it. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the horizons, behold, thou art there. If I ascend into the heavens, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in Hades, behold, thou art there. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't hide from God. Hide from your family, from the preacher, from the neighbor, from the man you work with, girlfriend or boyfriend, husband or wife. But you cannot hide from God. There is but one safe hiding place, and that is in the Lord Jesus, the Ark of Safety. Divided. And the Medes and Persians came in, and verse 30 tells the story. In that night, O night of horror, O night of defeat, O night of death, in that night, Belshazzar was slain. Massive walls, mighty army, magnificent banquet hall, swords and horses and chariots and men and bows and arrows, uncounted and unnumbered. But the grim enemy of death found Belshazzar, and the Bible writes him off. And the Bible writes off 70 years of splendor and glory in one sentence. In that night, Belshazzar was slain. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Thou who dost hold our breath in Thy hands, Thou who dost hold the scales of eternity, Thou who dost mark our every move and record our every word and register our every thought, Thou who dost see us even in the night, in our cover of darkness, in our shelter, in our massive walls of self-reform and self-righteousness, Thou who canst penetrate these, penetrate our hearts, we pray. Break down the stubborn walls of resistance. Penetrate the hard hearts. That little girl, that little boy, that man or woman, that young person, that husband or wife, penetrate those hearts tonight and bring these to Christ. May we read the handwriting on the wall for our nation. May we see that our days are numbered, that we are weighed as a nation upon thy scales and found wanting. And who knows when our kingdom shall be divided? May every man and every woman in this house step up on the imaginary scales tonight to see how much they weigh before thee. Help us to weigh ourselves on the scales of service and sacrifice and dedication to our Lord Jesus. Bring revival to our hearts. Bring salvation to the lost. Bring into the fellowship of the church in open and public commitment those who need to come and identify with this people is our prayer in Jesus' name.